continue our study of the book of Hebrews. So if you want to grab your Bible and open up, we are digging into Hebrews chapter 7 today. Too many verses, can't possibly hit them all. But we're going to be referencing and talking about what it has to say to us. And as we've done each week looking in these books of the Bible, we kind of say, well, what happened in chapter 6? Because as Pastor Jake wrapped up chapter 6, he talked about Jesus became a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, some of you have been Christian for a long time. You're like, oh, yeah, Melchizedek. And lots of you are like, who is Melchizedek? And so kind of as we start this chapter, this really kind of deals with this Melchizedek's role in the Hebrew culture. And there's no question that this is a book written by Hebrews for Hebrews, which applies to us. And so this is definitely a chapter where I'm going to be starting the more Hebrew side, helping you understand kind of what's going on in that culture for a while, and then taking a look at how it applies to our culture. And so it's a big deal. So as we kind of get started, there's basically two questions when you read this. What is a high priest? What's the importance of the high priest? What does the high priest do? And secondarily, right, who is Melchizedek? And why does it matter about who this guy is? So as we start the high priest thing, I think it's much better to ask you, what is a high priest? I mean, I'm pretty sure none of you have a high priest. Anyone? So those of you who have dug in this scripture, what is that valuable thing of what a high priest is and what he does? Raise a hand. Come on. All right. Go ahead. Go for it. Okay, so he says it very accurately. He says a high priest is an intermediate for the people of God, that he is the one who truly represents God for people, speaks from God to people, and hears and shares with God from people. He's sort of a pretty big deal in that nation of Israel. When they're talking about a high priest, it's not a small thing. If you're going to have a relationship with God, this high priest is a powerful intermediate reality of the high priest. In fact, I'd say of the things a high priest does, perhaps one of the greatest it does is once a year it makes atonement for all the sins. You know, the Hebrew people had to pay for their sins. They had to bring offerings. They had to do things to pay for sins. And even if it's offering an animal and all these things in the Old Testament, it's like, whoa, it's kind of tough for us to deal with it. You know, we're Americans. Oh, I sin, God forgives me, it's all good. The Hebrew culture was not that way. Every sin was paid for. And then once a year, because I'm pretty darn sure of this, have you asked forgiveness for every one of your sins? No one has. Why is that? Well, part of it, sometimes we don't really want to bring it up to God because we feel so bad. Other times, there's things we've done wrong that we don't even recognize we've done wrong. We can't even remember all of our sins. And so this is what this sacrifice was done in the Old Testament. Once a year, the high priest would go into the place of the temple that was never open to anyone because it was the place where God dwelled. And if you open that door and go in there, whoo, you know, you're within the perfect presence of God. In fact, it's kind of a joke, but they used to tie a rope to his foot. So you go into the presence of God, and if you die, they could pull you out, okay? Because this is the holy God. And once a year, that priest would go in and offer the sacrifice for the sins of the world. The ones we remember, the ones we've confessed, and that is a pretty powerful thing, all right? How do you know your sins are forgiven for these Hebrew people? Well, the high priest has gone into the very temple of Christ in his presence and made a sacrifice for me. So this is a big thing. As he's talking to Hebrew people, trying to share with them the greatness of Christ, he kind of starts hitting this issue with Melchizedek. Now, why Melchizedek? If you are interested, you can look in the book of Genesis chapter 14. You have the story of Abraham. And Abraham, he's a godly man and a powerful man. He is in a situation where his nephew, Lot, has been robbed, captured, taken away by these kings around, these kings that have joined together and are taking over different, it was in a really clean kinghood world. And so what he does, what Abraham does is he chases after, wins all the battles, gets Lot free, and wins everything over that all these kings had under their power and control. He takes it all. I mean, he's amazing, right? Abraham, he's a superhero. I mean, he's awesome. He's done this incredible thing. I mean, there's a reason why we all look and we think, oh, I wish that my faith was as good as Abraham's. Golly, I mean, he was incredible. He did incredible things for other people, not because he needed to, but because his heart was like God's. I mean, amazing man of God. And yet, he comes back, and there is this high priest, not a Hebrew. He's just a high priest who blesses Abraham for what he has done. And Abraham, of all the stuff he's gained, takes 10% and gives it to the high priest. Whoa. Now, some of you already got nervous. Is he going to talk about tithing? No, that's not the point of this, all right? We'll talk about tithing some other day. But why does he do it? And this is what, oh, thank you. Didn't even know I dropped it. There you go. My notes. I don't think I could even read my notes. Anyway, you know, as it says in verse 4, right, this is Abraham. He is a great man. He is an incredible man who is powerful, and yet he is underneath this high priest. Now, there were no Israeli priests until Moses came and rescued him. I mean, this is over 500 years before there even was an Israel high priest. And so his whole point in making this, and we're kind of zipping through it all, is that Abraham recognized those who are in this high priest role. This high priest, those who pray to the Lord your God for you, those who make sacrifice for you, all these high priests, as he goes through all the texts, and we're not going to go through it all because it's too much to hit. But he goes through Aaron, the first of the high priests. He goes through the Levites, who are the ones that are in that high priest role. And he says some pretty powerful things. You know, Melchizedek is better than every Israelite high priest. Better than every single one that's ever come. Because this high priest is very different than these high priests who, when they make a sacrifice for the sins of the world, they have to make a sacrifice for themselves as well because they're imperfect. They are a people who, without question, are only a high priest for a little while and then they die and now there's a new high priest. And so this is what he's hitting as he's going through these chapters. He's hitting this point. In fact, even greater, he says, you know, to look at the laws of the nation of Israel, this is verse 19, to look at those laws of those laws are all great laws, but they don't fix anything. They only show us the imperfection of our world and the imperfection of who we are. And there is a difference. There's something greater than all these high priests. In fact, this guy named Melchizedek is greater. And he quotes what actually David writes as one of the Psalms. And so if you turn to that, that's going to be verse 17. You are a priest forever. And he's talking about God in this. He's talking about Jesus. You're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. All right? So he's making this case of this crazy Melchizedek guy who is greater than every high priest in the nation of Israel, and this Melchizedek guy who is under Jesus. He's under Jesus. Now, that's a lot of introduction for something that applies to us. You know, I'm pretty sure none of us have priestly feelings about honoring our high priests. I'm pretty sure, you know, we're in America. How dare you say that person's more important than me? How dare you say that that person needs to do that? It's my life, and we're Americans. Well, I can tell you, it's sort of a silly thing, but it's true. Who is over you? There's a president. Pretty sure the president has some powers to do things over top of you. Some of you are kids. You have a parent. Are they in charge of you? Yeah. I know I can get the kids to answer things. I mean, there's so many different situations like that. If we're in a job, who's our boss? All right? Right? Who's the owner of the whole thing? Right? Even who is the judge of the situation that we're dealing with? I mean, this is a reality. I mean, sometimes even say, who's the head pastor of a church? Whoa. I mean, these are all factors of life, even though I can't talk about them because our culture would never allow us to talk about it. There is this one who is above us. Now, when we deal with people who are above us, what this does for us, not the Hebrew people, for us, this is a powerful thing, right? We have a president who's above. But guess what? There's something above that president. Jesus. Not just God. Jesus. You know, in fact, that Psalm 110 that he quotes, it's verse 4. In verse 1, he doesn't quote it, but I think it's so powerful. In verse 1 of that psalm, says this. Psalm 110 starts off with, this is a psalm of David, and he says this. The Lord says to my Lord, all right, that's strange already, sit at my right hand until I make your great things happen. And this is the point. The Lord says to my Lord, this is a powerful statement because this is David. Is anyone above David? Is there anyone larger than David? Yeah, there is. And David says it this, the Lord, Yahweh, that's actual translation, all capitals, Yahweh says to my Lord, there's David's underneath Jesus. So Yahweh, Jesus, David, he's third on the list at best. And this is a powerful thing. He, an amazing president of his country, a king, you know, he's the guy who's in charge of the Israelite people, and yet he acknowledges the Christ, the Savior who is coming, the one who even as leader would bow just as they bowed to Melchizedek in the past. This is a powerful statement for us. How do we recognize it doesn't matter whether we're thinking about our job situation, our family situation, law situations, there is one who is greater than everything that we face and deal with in life. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, there is this moment where Peter, he kind of gets in a little trouble because he's talking about Jesus and the Pharisees, and they come and they pull him aside and they say, "Hey, stop it." Peter says, "It's true." And they say, "Okay, well, we can't do anything to him because people would get up and get upset and everything." So they just say, "We're going to tell him to stop it. Don't do it. Don't say a word." And so they say, "We're going to let you go, Peter, but I don't want you to talk about Jesus to anyone." And Peter responds, "We must obey God rather than men." I'm sure there's no applications to us in this life where we talk about Jesus to people at our job, people in our neighborhood, people who need Christ, and now there's this fear. How dare I share Christ because I may get arrested? How dare I share Christ because it seems inappropriate? People are just, but this is whom God has called us to be. For why? For Christ is greater than anyone. He has a better answer to their struggles than anything. He's the God who loves the people of this world more than anybody. And our role is to acknowledge him as better than the high priests, as better than the people that we see in our lives, to dare to trust and follow in him and go wherever he leads. For this is what Jesus did on our behalf. Now, that's a challenge, but that's not the end of this story. We go down into verse 25, and as he goes on, this Jesus, the high priest, he is able to save to the utmost, right? He's not just, he's going to save us. He's going to save us to the utmost. I mean, he's the God who saves us well beyond even what we care about. And he saves those who draw near to God through him. He doesn't save us because we do right things. He doesn't save us because we, are good enough or do something great for God. He is the God who helps us. He's the God who forgives us, and he's the God who uses us in mighty ways. We just draw near to him. That's it. That's what we do in this life of faith. We just draw near to him because we need a hero. We need a hero. I think my wife's doing the show, the Hero Show, coming up, and heroes are awesome, no question. They're awesome. Love the heroes. The world comes against these things that are too strong for them, and then a hero dives in. This is a great This is great. This is what the people of Israel are being told, right? You have this sort of people in charge and blah, 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 and they're messing everything up and they can't get anything right. And then God sends the hero. And his name is Jesus. And no matter the rough and crazy things that attack, even the things that after him, he defeats it all. At least most of the heroes that I've studied have defeated it all. But I will say there's one great difference between the heroes that we always think about, the history, Batman or, anyone, lots of them. There's one great difference. The heroes, they rescue. They do an amazing thing for people, and then they say, "Hey, if you're ever in trouble, let me know, and I'll come rescue you." See, our God is so much greater than that. Our God, the high priest, he's not the God who's we call on. He's the God who is there. He's the God who lives in our hearts. As we take this communion, is in our lives. He is the God who never says, call me. He says, I'm right here. I'm right here. So these are, you know, as we continue this study of Hebrews, understand the Hebrew culture, a little different than ours, a little different, where the high priest role is big. Whatever is large in your life, whatever is a large ruler of your life, a large influence on your life, none of them are greater than the God who loves us, who gave his life for us, and walks with us in all things. And let's give it all to Jesus. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day so grateful, Lord, for this amazing book of the Bible that looks at it in a very different way. Lord, we know that the Hebrew people sometimes would lose sight of the imperfections of those who are in this high role in their life. And we're so glad, Lord, that you brought Jesus so that there is the perfect God. There is the powerful God. There is the high priest who is righteous, who does the work, in fact, even makes the sacrifice himself so that we are washed clean. We don't need to make sacrifices for our sins, for you died for it all. And Lord, you are not just a God who did it for us. You're the God who is alive. You are the God who is with us every moment of every day. And you have things for us to do, to recognize you as truly above it all, above our bosses, above our parents, above our pastors. Lord, you are greater than anything that we walk through this world with. Father, may we lean on you. In Jesus' name, amen.